عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم while the live stream is being set up just a reminder these hadith sorry the purpose behind this gathering has been to just cover basic hadith from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that surround his that surround our lives within the home and in particular how we can fill our homes with love and these talks are all live streamed online so you can share the link with your families if they're watching at home or friends or if you yourself aren't comfortable coming then this is available online so the website is www.refinedheart.com refined heart heart and the videos from all the prior sessions are posted on the website as well so you can access everything from there inshallah So, as a reminder, we've covered six hadith so far. This is week seven. We've done one hadith per day. The last hadith was the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that referenced the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala that occurs within the home and how a home in which Allah Ta'ala is remembered is a home that's alive. And a home in which Allah Ta'ala is, you can say, forgotten or ignored is a home that is equivalent to death or lifelessness. So this was the last hadith, and we mentioned that the importance We mentioned that it's important to engage, to involve our entire household in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala because that is what brings life into the home and that's what fills the home with love. So the next hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we're going to be covering, عن الأسود بن يزيد رضي الله عنه سألت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصنع في البيت قالت كان في مهنة أهله فإذا سمع الأذان خرج. So this hadith is narrated in Sahih Bukhari, and we'll translate it. And as we normally do, we'll translate it, go over some background points, and then return to the hadith and derive lessons from it. So the translation roughly is Al Aswad radiallahu anhu states, I asked Aisha. So this companion Al Aswad, he asked the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do at home? She said, she replied, he used to be in the service of his family. Kana, I think the Arabic is displayed as well on the screen. يصنعوا كان في مهنة أهله. He used to be in the service of his family. Where كان, when you add كان to the verb, it takes on the meaning of this was kind of his habitual practice. Was to this his characteristic or his tendency was to be في مهنة أهله in the service or in the effort of his family. And when he heard the adhan, he would go out for prayer for salah. Today we're just going to focus on the first portion of this hadith. And then, inshallah, next week we'll cover the second portion of this hadith, of this response of Aisha, because they're both very deep, and we can learn and derive a lot of lessons from it, and I don't want to try to squeeze it all into one session. So the part that we're going to focus on, is when she first responded, she said, he used to be in the service of his family. So what are three background points, or what are some background points? The first background point to understand when it comes to the house, and maybe this is common sense, but it's, I think, helpful to break things down into basics before trying to go into some depth. The first point is that in order for people to live under one roof, certain household needs need to be met, right? A functional home, it needs and it necessitates basic services. So there has to be, for instance, some method of keeping the home clean. There has to be some system in place of preparing food for the home or arranging food for the home. There has to be some system in place for remodeling from time to time or for reconstructing or for reorganizing the home or organizing the home. So in general, it's important to understand that a home that is functional, it requires some forms of service, right? Bedding, cleaning, food, etc. The second background point to understand is that our deen, it recognizes this necessity within the home and it rewards service that occurs within the home. The deen recognizes this necessity and it rewards service within the home. What I mean is that, you know, we tend to think that reward within our houses or within our homes is achieved when we are on the musalla. So for instance, if I'm not actively praying or I'm not actively reciting Quran or listening to Quran or learning some aspect of deen, then within the home, I'm not actually earning reward, right? We create this dichotomy within our mind. But the reality is, because service is necessitated within the home to make it functional, and this service is a responsibility given by Allah Ta'ala to human beings for us to maintain our homes, the deen recognizes this, it appreciates this, and it rewards individuals for providing service to the home. So the summary of this background point is that what otherwise may seem like mundane things within the home, cooking or cleaning or organizing or repairing, while it may seem mundane, these also carry the possibility of attaining great reward. Okay, the third background point is that in general, service within the home and outside the home, it's a mechanism by which love spreads. How is that? Because when we serve one another, what we're doing is we're basically sacrificing time that we have for ourselves or energy that we have kept for ourselves, and we're now using it on someone else. And when that occurs, when that service occurs, it's essentially a form of sacrifice. And sacrifice is a principal way by which love is spread, right? We always appreciate when someone does something for us. We feel that this person has a concern for us. And within the home, this is a mechanism, one mechanism, by which love is grown and love spreads within the home is when we seek out opportunities to serve one another and sacrifice for the sake of the people within our household. Okay. So those are the background points. So let's return back to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So again, Al-Aswad, he states, I asked Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, what did the Prophet ﷺ do at home? What did the Prophet ﷺ do at home? She, radiallahu ta'ala anha, said, she responded, he used to be in the service of his family, right? كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. And when he heard the adhan, he would go out for prayer. So let's focus. He used to be in the service of his family. So what are some lessons that we can take from this particular hadith? The first lesson that we learn is that the Prophet ﷺ was very involved within the home. The Prophet ﷺ, he was very involved within the home. You know, one would think that this, if we were to look back at history, or even, you know, just look back in time and say, you know, what kinds of people are important and who has had the most responsibility in the history of mankind? I think we would all say without a doubt that the Prophet ﷺ had more responsibility than anyone else, meaning outside the home. The responsibility to give da'wah, the responsibility to spread the message of deen, the responsibility of being a military commander, the responsibility of being a leader, a spiritual leader, a psychological and emotional leader, just a leader in general. So one would think that with all these responsibilities that he has toward the greater community, how is it that we would think that all of his household affairs should be taken care of by other people, right? That's just the natural tendency. When we think about, you know, world leaders today or people that have a lot of wealth today or a lot of power or authority, we generally think, yeah, they probably don't have to do anything or lift a finger within the home, right? That's sometimes a statement that's made. But if we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, despite him having a million and one responsibilities and technically having the ability for him to order other people to take care of the responsibilities for him, and people would be dying to do this, right, to serve the Prophet ﷺ in this way, the Prophet ﷺ, despite this, his wife says that when he was within the home, he was involved and engaged actively in the affairs of the home, specifically in the service of his family. And that's quite remarkable, right? He didn't deem things within the home to be mundane tasks. We could think, if the Prophet ﷺ spent 5 minutes washing the dishes, we'd think, why would he do that? If he spent 5 minutes giving da'wah, look how much more of an impact it would have. But we don't learn this from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. We learn that when the Prophet ﷺ was at home, he was very actively involved in the activities within the home and the services within the home. And it's important for us to appreciate this on two levels. But the first is, he was very hands-on within the home. Okay, the second lesson, which is related to the first lesson, is that it is sunnah, right? It is sunnah and highly rewarded to serve the home. So for our own selves, we aren't obviously the Prophet ﷺ. We don't have the responsibilities of the Prophet ﷺ. But we learn from this example of the Prophet ﷺ that even someone as close to Allah as he was, and even someone with as much responsibility as he had, he felt it necessary to serve the home. So this is also a sunnah for us. It is sunnah and highly rewarded to serve the home. You know, many a times we think that this actually happens not just in circles outside of the deen, but even within the deen, people that call toward deen and people that do service of deen oftentimes neglect the home, right? Like they'll be maybe traveling across the world to do X, Y, and Z things or give speeches and, you know, or some other responsibilities that are external, and the home is just falling apart on the inside. The children aren't given proper tarbiyah, the spouse isn't given the attention that they need. This is not the example of the Prophet ﷺ. The example of the Prophet ﷺ is to be as involved as possible within the home and have that foundation. And that foundation is then used as a means of spreading deen outside of the home as well. So we should be very mindful of this, that we can't save humanity until we have established our own home. So Rasulullah ﷺ has a right to have had an excuse, but he doesn't have an excuse. So for us, it is sunnah, and it is highly rewarded to engage in services within the home. The third lesson, in general, although it applies to the home as well, as a general rule, it's better to serve others than to be served by others. Wait, we learned this from this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It's better to serve others than be served by others, right? This is important for us to understand. We're, maybe because of the time and place in which we live, we love to be served, right? And it's time to eat, we want the waiter, you know, the waitress to give us all the attention and bring food to us and prepare it for us, etc. Right? This is just, we want something delivered, we push a button, we want someone to come and service our home. You know, we're in a time and in a place where we love to sit back and be served. But the example of the Prophet ﷺ is to be very active in serving others, not being on the receiving hand, right? And in general, this applies within our own homes, meaning when we have an opportunity to serve, let's say, our families, our kids, our spouses, our parents, we should jump on these opportunities rather than waiting for these individuals to then serve us. And if everyone within the home has a mentality that I'm going to serve the other person, and everyone's constantly thinking about serving one another, we can imagine the amount of love that would spread within the home, because everyone perceives this sacrifice between each other. And that's very, very powerful. This applies not just within our home, but even in other homes, right, that we visit, maybe our relatives, maybe our in-laws, maybe our friends. You know, we go to someone's house and we think that, well, now that I'm here, these people just have to serve me nonstop. But that's not the attitude of a believer. The attitude of a believer is that it's always better for me to serve. So even if I'm somewhere else, I should offer my services and see if they will be welcome, and I contribute. Right? This is just our approach in general. We shouldn't be thinking like, you know, everyone should constantly serve me. So we learn from this hadith as well that it's better to serve than to be served. Okay, so let's bring home two practice points so that we can take something home with us today, inshallah. So the first practice point is, it's important for us when we read, for example, this hadith, we see that the Prophet ﷺ was servicing his home. And we learn from this that it's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to involve ourselves within the home. But that sunnah also partly requires an intention. What I mean is, if I, for instance, let's say, go home, and I see the dishes aren't attended to, and I make the intention that, Ya Allah, because your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was actively participating in the service of his household, that I'm also going to take on this responsibility right now, then those 15 or 20 minutes that I spend with the dishes, or vacuuming, or cleaning, or cooking, this is now time spent in Allah's service. And this is now time that's spent and that's filling my bucket of reward. So it's something that we should make a conscious intention toward. Now, it doesn't mean that every single time I serve the home that I have to make this, refresh my niyyah every single time. But at least at the start of the week, or at the start of the day, or consciously, periodically through our mind, we should make an intention that, Ya Allah, these are your servants. This is a sunnah of your Messenger. And in accordance with the sunnah, I'm going to involve myself in these activities. So that it's not mundane, you know. Part of the frustration that builds with having to do work within our home, we get tired because, you know, the house is messy, or it needs to be kept up, or it needs to be organized, and we become frustrated. Why is it that I always have to do the dishes, or I always have to take out the trash, or I always have to do X, Y, and Z? Part of it is because we don't realize that, look, this is actually time where I can earn reward. If I know that this time spent is now time in which I'm earning my Jannah, it makes it a lot easier than if I think that this is time that I'm actually wasting. right? Or thinking that because I have to do this chore, this responsibility, I wish I could rather sit on the musalla and do some dhikr, because I'll earn reward that way, but by vacuuming the floor or by, you know, putting the clothes away, I'm not going to earn that same degree of reward. It's a misconception that we have. So we should, the first practice point is when we go home today or over the course of the next week, that whenever there's some responsibility that we have within the home, we should make an intention to earn reward from this, because it's from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And it'll make it easier to do. It'll provide us with tremendous benefit also on the Day of Judgment. And it, in general, maintains the home in a functional way, which is very pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the second take-home point from this hadith is, in general within the home, if we feel overwhelmed, I shouldn't say take-home point, but the practice point that we can all practice today from this hadith is, when we feel overwhelmed with the responsibilities of the home, we should, when that sensation of feeling overwhelmed or stressed comes on, we should immediately stop what we're doing. We should sit, we should pause, and we should reflect upon this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because it'll make it a lot easier for us to go through our time in the home. You know, this is a good hadith to think of, especially in like this virtual learning, if you have children at home that are going through virtual schooling and everyone's just in the house all the time. It can become very overwhelming. The house is messier than it normally is. Our time is spent more on things that we thought we could give to someone else before, such as education or teaching. We have to spend more time entertaining children than we did before, entertaining each other than we did before. So it can become overwhelming, right? And so when we feel a sense of stress or feeling overwhelmed within the home, we should immediately stop, sit down, pause, and reflect upon this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and remind ourselves that, look, this is actually rewarded time. This is sunnah for me to do this. And if I pause and I reflect and I reflect and remind myself that, look, if the Prophet ﷺ were here right now, he'd be doing exactly what I'm doing. It makes it a lot easier for me to overcome this challenge and continue to push through, or continue to do things willingly to support the function of the household and the love that needs to be established within the home. So these are the two take-home points. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with this hadith, but I want to cover the second point, in which Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard the adhan for prayer, he would then go for prayer. So we'll address that portion of the hadith in more greater detail. So may Allah, in greater detail. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to learn from the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to serve our homes and serve those around us, and allow us to attain reward from this. And may Allah ta'ala allow our homes to be filled with His remembrance and filled with His love. Wa akhira da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.